You're listening to a podcast on the Audio Boom Network. This is Walk the Talk with me, Dave Thomas. Thank you for downloading this edition of the programme. I do hope you enjoy it. Ian Whitehead is a career detective, having spent the last 24 years in Lancashire Constabulary. His early career saw him on various squads tackling burglary and robbery before moving on to serious and organised crime. He has served in every rank up to Chief Inspector in both uniformed and detective roles. He has led a force-wide review on victim safeguarding, and it is there that he developed a passion to work with other agencies to protect vulnerable people. He was promoted to Detective Superintendent and in 2017 became the Head of Public Protection, a role he feels very privileged to hold. He believes that poor performance is almost always a result of the design and environment in which people work and less so of the people themselves. Straight talking, willing to challenge others and a desire to push boundaries, yet quick to encourage others to speak up if they don't agree with him. So who better to discuss the role of middle management, its pitfalls and considered by many career professionals as a position no one aspires to? In these podcasts, I will be talking with people who share their stories of tragedy and hope. I will be exploring mental health and well-being with workplace professionals and also with folk who have struggled to make sense of their own lives. My hope is that these shared experiences will remove the loneliness from those people who are convinced it is their fate to suffer alone. I'm Dave Thomas, and I've been a serving police officer for over 20 years. You're very welcome to join me on Walk the Talk. Ian, welcome to Walk the Talk. Now, I have a confession to make that in the past I've been critical of middle management, the usual stereotypical view, never seen by the staff, no one really knowing the role that they play within an organisation. So before we delve deeper, perhaps it's important to discuss the role of a middle manager.
Well, I can only, talk about it through my own experiences. And I think my own experiences may or may not be typical of what others experience. Certainly my experience as a middle manager has been within what I would describe as hierarchical organisation. And some of the things I'll talk about are not just, I don't think, about policing, but perhaps wider public sector and other organisations that I've sort of seen as well. So for me, the role of a middle manager is to try to find a way of translating, I suppose, organisational strategy into that tactical delivery, i.e. what happens on the ground, and do that in a way that makes sense for the people who are actually doing the work. How do you translate that? How do you support the staff and make sure the staff have got all the knowledge, skills, experience, tools that they need to do the job?
Middle management has been described as translating strategy into tactical reality, having one foot on each side of the organisation, liaison between the bigger picture and getting things done. Now, that's a pretty fine line to tread. That must present its own difficulties as a manager.
I think it does, and I think that one of the difficulties for a middle manager is, to some extent, you can find yourself between a rock and a hard place. You are, I suppose, in terms of that translation of strategic into tactical delivery, you're very much looking up and down that command chain and trying to, I suppose, understand what's being asked of you and then translate that in a way that staff can understand what the organisation expects. And I think that is a fine line in terms of how you do that, and it can be quite tricky. For middle managers, particularly in a hierarchical organisation, you are absolutely, certainly in a command and control sort of environment, expected to deliver results. But often I think middle managers can find that whilst they are ultimately held responsible for delivering a lot of them results, they perhaps don't feel that they've got the autonomy to make some of the decisions that might be needed between doing the job that needs to be done and what you want to do as a middle manager, and understanding, I think this is where the difficulty comes, that you are ultimately being judged by your senior colleagues. And for people who perhaps want to get on in an organisation that operates that way, that can be difficult. And I think it can sometimes suppress for middle managers that feeling of being able to perhaps challenge up as much as they'd like to.
I suppose striking that balance between still having a hands-on approach without being accused of micromanagement, and but yet not being too friendly with the staff and viewed as being soft by your bosses.
This is very much my opinion, and others may choose to disagree. But for me, it's fundamentally important for all managers at every level, but certainly for middle managers, to be close enough to the work that they understand the work, and therefore the decisions that they make actually support the work.
And I suppose that leads you to one of the frustrations that I've heard, that the role takes the manager away from the staff.
It does. I mean, even if you just look at it in terms of physical space, and it's not the case in all organisations, but a lot of the time you find senior managers are separated physically from the work, even just in terms of office environment. That in itself, in my mind, can be an absolute blocker to understanding what's going on and that reality. So some of it's very physical. Some of it's by nature of, I suppose, what's expected of that role, and you know, whether that's a lot of meetings or a lot of things that they're expected to do that, like as you say, naturally take them away from the work.
The other thing as well is, people at the top could be viewed as old school, whereas the staff that you manage could be fairly new to the organisation with different viewpoints, and you're stuck in the middle trying to manage all that.
Absolutely. And you know, I think we've seen in terms of people coming into our organisation, you know, I've been here 24 years now, and I've seen people, different types of people, different backgrounds. I think that the people coming into the organisation, you know, we've got a great diverse nature of people in terms of thinking background, and you know, the further away from understanding that you are, the more difficult it's going to be to translate some of that stuff I've talked about. The other side of that as well is that, you know, in terms of change management and improvement and delivery, my view is that those people who are in the best position to understand what needs to change are the people doing the work.
You've succinctly described the middle manager as having to look both up and down the command chain, apart from causing a metaphorical sore neck. I'm curious as to whether it also causes a unique set of worries and anxieties.
It's the difficult balance of a middle manager. You are very much responsible for leading the staff, supporting the staff, delivering the objectives, but perhaps sometimes, as I say, you're not always in the position to make the changes that you'd like to make in order to do that, to influence things at the level you'd like to. And I think particularly for all managers to some extent, that can be really frustrating. And I think it can also disempower middle managers from getting on and doing what they can see needs to be done. I mean, some of my frustrations, and they are, I suppose, quite personal frustrations, are I honestly believe that we need to mobilise the knowledge, experience and skills that exist throughout our workforce. So if you have people who do not feel comfortable challenging, speaking up, speaking the mind, then you're never going to be able to do that. And I think middle managers sometimes find themselves in quite a difficult position in terms of, should they toe the party line in terms of what senior management are saying, or should they speak up about something that they fundamentally disagree with? And that's absolutely my view, is that they should. That challenge needs to be there.
Because they can be in a difficult position, can't they? Because they're simultaneously not only the victim of change, but also the leader of it.
Yeah, and I think that is very, very much the case. And I suppose I've seen the frustrations sometimes of middle managers who feel that they are day-to-day dealing with the daily grind, I suppose, of having to manage some of the difficult issues that arise around change, whilst perhaps they get neither the and don't always get the recognition for the work that they're doing in managing some of that difficult situation.
And also, I suppose, you know, you're talking to me now, I'm a humble foot soldier, I don't know what your workload is this afternoon, you might be going to see the senior management team at headquarters, and I suspect that might be psychologically challenging, changing those mindsets.
It is, yes, and, you know, I can recall absolutely being a manager in a division who's going to those meetings at headquarters, and there is a tendency, I think, sometimes for middle managers to approach that in the sense of survival of the of the meeting. Can I get through this meeting without either taking too much work back away with me because I've already got a busy day job? And that's not saying that managers aren't trying to be supportive of the organisation, they absolutely are, but I think, you know, there's always that balance between managing the very challenging day-to-day stuff and what's being asked from the top of an organisation, which may or may not always be realistic and achievable in the expected timescale, shall we say.
Now, I know in several business surveys, I think most notably in the United States at least, identified middle managers the most unhappy group of employees within an organisation. I wonder why that is, and what can managers do to address their own well-being, perhaps more in line with the work that they do?
I mean, I suppose I can only speak from personal experience, Dave, and one of the things that I found quite liberating is, you know, at a point where I made a very deliberate decision that I was going to focus very much on doing what I thought was the right thing and not worrying too much about perhaps what other people thought about me. And that's not because I don't care what people think of me, obviously I do, I'm human, but that weight of, I suppose, from the middle managers worrying about what will somebody think from above if I do, you know, if I do this or do that wrong, it can be very difficult to deal with. It can be, you know, I don't think from a well-being perspective that is always, you know, is healthy at all. There's something very liberating, I think, about being yourself, being true to yourself and your values, and just doing what you believe to be the right thing. So I think it sounds quite a simple thing. I think in reality, in the right or wrong environment, that can be quite difficult. But I suppose I survive day to day by kind of sleep at night, because I think I've done my best to do what I think is the right thing, and that's about as good as you can do.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because in a command and controls environment, I'm just wondering, with the peer support for the front line, where does a chief inspector or where does a superintendent go? Who does he speak to?
I think that's a really good question. I do think, you know, so personally, my experience is that a lot of the support that you seek is very much from your peers. And I think, you know, and probably people at a similar rank or position. And I think that's for a couple of reasons. One, they probably have a sense of understanding of where you're at and they can empathise with some of the things you're struggling with. But I think it's also linked to my other point around hierarchy, is leaders traditionally in an organisation like this have expected to be tough, get on with it, make decisions. Perhaps, you know, there isn't an awful lot of room been there in the past for appreciating that sometimes we might not have all the answers, we might not know what to do in a particular situation, we might get stressed by the work the same as everybody else. And I think similarly, do you want, you know, again, perhaps there's a reticence sometimes that people wouldn't want more senior people to know exactly how you were feeling, because perhaps that's, you know, perhaps there's a concern around what their perception might be, what the consequences would that be. So my experience has certainly been that people have a tendency to seek that sort of support from their own peers. That has been a huge support mechanism for me, just having a brew, putting the world to rights and sounding off a little bit in a safe environment with somebody that perhaps can empathise with some of your problems.
Which is what we all do, isn't it, I suppose. Well, that brings me on, actually. It's quite interesting because, you know, we've talked about the command and control systems, and certainly in a crisis it works very well, but on a day-to-day level, how does that work?
This is something which may or may not be controversial, I suppose, Dave, because it's very much a personal view of mine. You know, I think as a service, we are exceptionally good at dealing with crisis. Mm. It's the stuff, you know, I remember right back to, you know, the very early days of my career, being told that basically the expectation is a situation presents itself to you and you're expected to get on and deal with it, whatever that is. And that, you know, and that can be quite daunting when you first come into an organisation like this, but you soon learn the confidence that if you don't know the answer, you'll do something at least, and then you'll work out. I think the difficulty is that what it does is, and this is one of the difficulties as you move through the management structure, is that culturally that's the way you've learned to behave. So for a lot of managers, they have not had the exposure to learning, support, development that would allow them to apply a different way of thinking in a different set of circumstances. And I think what that means is that when we come across some more complex problems, we have a tendency to try and fix them with a crisis style of leadership, which is usually a sticking plaster, which has a tendency not to have any sustainable positive impact. But certainly as you go up to, you know, a more senior level, and the problems are perhaps a little bit more complex that you're trying to look at, you need to have a different way of thinking, and you can't apply that crisis style leadership anymore. One of the ways of transitioning away from that command and control culture needs to be a real investment in management at all levels, so they've got the skills and they're actually equipped to do that.
Well, that very nicely brings me on to our last question, really, I suppose. Now you are at the rank of superintendent and have come from that middle management role to, say, higher management. What differences have you seen?
So I do think perhaps by nature of the superintending ranks that it is a different rank, because just look at things like the superintendents associations or other things. You know, the setup is slightly different. I think that my reflection. I think that, you know, by nature, again, tendencies to hold roles such as perhaps, you know, a head of a department or an operations manager. So there is, I suppose, more decision-making ability at that level. But I suppose in respect of what I said earlier, it's then about being able to say, well, actually, based on everything I've said around people being closer to the work, understanding the work more, how do I empower people at those other levels to be able to make some of them decisions, or to, you know, make that communication flow better, because people, you know, you've got a more open, encouraging environment in which people can challenge and have them conversations. And the same all the way, you know, and this isn't just about middle managers, this is about listening to everybody in our workforce, regardless of the background or position, because whatever job somebody's doing, they are the person who is most likely to know more about that job than anybody else. So I think I'm in a really fortunate position now. I feel very privileged. Sometimes wonder how I did get here, but I do feel very privileged to hold the position. And I suppose, you know, for me now, it's about what's my responsibility to try and make that easier for some of those other people that work in that environment.
So if we agree that the role of the middle manager is crucial to the vision of an organisation and putting that vision into practice, what can the organisation do to support that vital role?
We really need to invest in our managers at all levels, but, you know, especially middle managers, in terms of equipping them with the right skills, the right knowledge, the right experience, the right direction in some respects, because one of the other things that I think is difficult for middle managers is that senior managers and exec managers aren't always on the same page. They don't always have the same approach. They don't always have the same leadership style. And so it can be difficult for middle managers and other managers to work out, well, what is it that's being asked of me here? What is the leadership that's expected of me? What is the direction I'm being given? And this isn't, you know, a criticism of more senior people. I think this is just naturally, particularly in an organisation like ours, there is, in my mind, a transition from a very traditionally organised organisation to hopefully something that is a little bit more inclusive, where leadership is more distributed, where individuals are more valued. And I think different people are at different places on that journey. And therefore, that's, you know, it's difficult for people to work out what their approach should be. But I think certainly an investment in being clear around what that middle manager role is, and then making sure that we've invested in those people, and even to the extent of people going into different roles in the organisation, we do have a tendency, and this is more of a policing thing, I think, to think, well, somebody's a chief inspector or an inspector or a superintendent, so they'll be fine in that job over there because that's their rank, as opposed to actually that person may have very limited understanding of that area of business. So we're not being fair to people if we haven't, you know, we have to set people up for success by absolutely making sure that they've got what they need. We need to establish more trust in people to make decisions, to empower them to make decisions, to back them up when things don't quite go as they should be. And this is something, and that is throughout the organisation. That's not just middle managers. That is, you know, so that our staff on the ground know that they can act in the best interest of the people they're trying to help, make decisions that they believe is the right thing to do, and that they'll be supported when they do it.
And it's interesting what you say, in that if you're seen as a good middle manager, then the hierarchy will assume that you're able to manage any situation, and clearly that isn't the case, is it?
It isn't the case, and I think, you know, we've got a culture around things like time served, but we've also got, you know, we put a lot of emphasis, quite rightly, in some respects, on the credibility of our leaders and their professional competence. And I think occasionally, and this is difficult in a shrinking organisation where we've got limited numbers of people and limited roles, it's difficult if you find yourself in a role that you've got little previous experience of, and everybody's looking up at you to make the decisions. And in some respects, maybe that is the challenge and reality of an organisation like this. Then even more so, we need to be listening to the people who do the work and understanding, so that the decisions we make are the most informed decisions that they can be, and not based perhaps on the expectation that just because somebody's more senior that perhaps they know better, because that generally isn't the case, yeah, in my experience.
And so, going full circle then, because I started off this interview with saying that middle management is a role that nobody aspires to, why do you think that is?
I suppose, given some of the difficulties I've described, I mean, somebody said, these are not just my words, but I would use them. One of my colleagues recently said to me they were approaching retirement as a chief inspector, and then said, but nobody really wants to retire as a chief inspector, do they? And I reflected a little bit and thought, well, there's some, there may be a number of reasons for that. And it's not, you know, many people in this organisation do not do what they do for money, because otherwise they would be working elsewhere in the private sector. But so I do think that for a lot of middle managers who are aspiring to be senior managers, it can be a very difficult role to navigate. A lot of our middle managers work very long hours, you know, with little recompense, I suppose, for the work that they do. You know, perhaps sometimes they do that because they think that that's what's going to get them to the next, you know, the next place they want to be as a senior manager. And in the past it has been, and some people still value that. I think we are making a lot of progress culturally around presenteeism. And I think that certainly I know a number of leaders who lead by example in terms of making sure that not only are the staff but themselves are not setting the wrong example about working some of them long hours, and actually understanding the balance that's required. There's an element of personal resilience. And if you're working long hours and you're not looking after yourself and you're not looking after your family, then that personal resilience is going to be significantly impacted on. One of the things that we could do definitely to make things better for middle managers is that investment and trust and empowerment to let them get on with the job sometimes and deliver, because there's some really good people working at that level.
Ian Whitehead, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.